First lesson I've learned is have a strategy. Beware of those quick wins. Think long term. Think sustainably. Where am I going to be? Where's this team going to be in 3 years' time? My personal, maintain optionality and flexibility in your architecture. I think that's key. If you can, get some competition in there, but link this back to your strategy again. And then finally, give your data products time to evolve. They don't happen overnight. If you can link it to your company vision, I think that is critical.
I'd like to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Talent Insights. Talent Insights are Australia's leading specialist data recruitment business. With offices in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane, they're experts at providing recruitment strategy and building data teams for clients across industries Australia-wide. They provide recruitment solutions for all roles across the data lifecycle, including data engineering, data science, advanced analytics, customer and marketing insights, business intelligence, data product managers, and data governance. They're skilled at finding the best permanent and contract hires for your business needs, as well as statement of work, project focus, data resources. At Talent Insights, relationships matter most. I can say from first-hand experience, Talent Insights are fantastic to work with. Whether you're a business leader within an HR network or a specialist data candidate, Talent Insights should be the first company you turn to for all your data recruitment needs. Find them at talentinsights.com.au.
Data Futurology has three exciting conferences coming up in the second half of the year. So we have Data Engineering coming up on the 5th of September in Sydney, followed by Advancing AI in Sydney on the 6th and 7th of September. And then in end of October, October 24th and 25th, we're going to have our Ops World event in Melbourne. As usual, our conferences cover three main pillars, which one is executive perspectives on leadership and strategy in the space. The second one is industry use cases and case studies, where you can see how other people are applying the technologies or what they're doing, what type of innovations they're doing in their organizations that can help you. And then the third one is we review advancements in the technologies. What is the new tech stacks that we could be implementing? How are people switching from one type of platform to another? Come and find out what's happening in the community. Bring your teams along, get everyone together. It's going to be three great events. Hope to see you there. Thanks.
We're going to have Niall Keating, who's the general manager for technology data platforms at Sportsbet. And he's going to discuss with us a journey of evolving data culture to deliver sustainable business impact. So please, a huge welcome for us kicking us off, Niall Keating.
Thank you, Felipe. Morning, everyone. Thanks for Felipe and all the sponsors and everyone here for the opportunity to tell you a little bit about myself and the Sportsbet story. It's good to see some old faces in the room as well. As people filtered in, I get to see some people I haven't seen for a while. It's been great, but lots of new faces here as well. So my name is Niall. I'm a software engineer. I spent most of my career building real-time analytics for telephone networks, so building the core of telephone networks. I arrived in Melbourne about 12 years ago, actually almost to the day 12 years ago, so May 11th, 2011. I landed with Telstra, and I eventually ended up writing their big data strategy. Big data strategy, remember that? From there, I went on to Coles for a little bit. And then over the last 6 years, I've been with Sportsbet, or nearly 6 years. And I'm going to tell you a bit about our journey there, or my journey there. I'll tell you a few stories around sustainability. That's that one. And it worked. Fantastic. So Sportsbet, we are an online bookmaker. So Australia's largest online bookmaker. We've got about 1 million customers, active customers every weekend come onto our platform. We have a really interesting product. So the price changes all the time. We sell a price and it's changing all the time. And that product is really only popular for the last 5 to 10 minutes before a race or a sporting event starts. And then once that event starts, we can't sell that product anymore. That creates some really good technical challenges and really good data challenges. So we've invested heavily in technology and data. So you can imagine with all that markets and all those movements, it's a lot of Kafka. We use a lot of Kafka to move our data around. So we've invested in technology. A lot of our development, nearly all our development is here in Melbourne. And over the past few years, we've started to really get going on machine learning, and we have what we say, 20 plus models in production, and we're taking action on those models in production. And we'll learn a little bit about some of those models today. All right. So when I was putting together this this deck, my reflection of over the last 12 years is values are really, really important. So I just wanted to introduce you to sports bet values. You'll see in the top and the bottom, the two corners, we got customer. So I think customer is critical to everything we do in data. So if you're not linking what you do every day to your customer, yeah, you got to have a good look at yourself or your company. Two of my favorites here, play 3D. It's all about systems thinking in three dimensions. And I think that's really important in the data space. And then my other favorite here is got your back. So it's not always possible to get things right in the data space. There's a lot of choice. So it's important that the value of you've got your back, you can try new things and your colleagues have your back. But today I wanted to really focus in on reflect, learn, improve. So this is an important part of our culture where we always take a step back and look, well, how did that project go? Or how did that initiative go? And what can we learn from it? What can we improve upon? So a lot of the stories I tell today will be around that, that value. The stories are not right or wrong. I think they're my stories or sports bet stories. So feel free to disagree or agree, but hopefully we learn from some of them, or I can help share some of my learnings. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about sports bet, data at sports bet. The first thing we have to do is get the basics right. Okay, so you'll hear lots of fancy use cases around AI and today and tomorrow. But if you don't get the reports out the door in the morning at 6 a.m. or whatever time you've targeted, you're not going to get much investment. So get the basics right. We use data to make decisions. We use data for financial reporting. Okay, that's really critical, I think, is to get the basics right. Then a little bit more excitingly, we use the data for our core report, for our core product. So we use quantitative analytics to generate the probability of an event happening, and then we place a price on that event. And that's our core product. We sell a price point. And that core product has gotten more and more complicated over the last few years as we start to introduce things like group betting and same game multi. So be able to bet on multiple events within one game. So we're pretty proud of our quantitative analytics teams. As you saw, maybe on the first slide, we have got 24 million products, I think the stat was. So we do a lot of recommendations and personalization and a lot of content recommendations. As I was just sitting down earlier on, and I remembered another lesson from content recommendations. If you're going to do personalization of content before you start, remember how you're going to measure it, or really be clear on how you're going to measure if it works or not. I just had flashbacks to 5 years ago. We didn't do that at the start of a big personalization journey. We didn't be really, really clear and accurate how we're going to measure what success looked like. Over the past couple of years, though, we've really moved that personalization into how we optimize our generosity, our value, as we call it. So it's our discounts and our promotions. So it's real impact on the bottom line. So the level of quality and software engineering that needs to go into that has gone up and up and up as we move away from or move from content into real money personalization. So good challenges there. The last one and most important one, or the one I like to talk about the most, is how we use data for safer gambling, to keep our customers safe when they're gambling. So I put up the Flutter logo here. Sportsbet's part of a global group based out of Dublin called Flutter. And it's a really critical part of our strategy, our global company strategy, is to make gambling safe. And this comes to the sustainability point that we're gonna go through in a while. Okay, last bit of context, I promise, then we'll get into some data engineering. You'll see a big part in the middle here. Let's see if the laser pointer works. Look at that. Bring excitement to life. I think it's really important that your products, our core products, I got used to this now, and that's really linked directly. So what we use data for is linked directly to our company vision and mission. Bring excitement to life. So I think it's really important. But what we'll focus on today is sustainability for generations to come. So we want to use, and I really believe to be successful at data, you can't think short term. You got to think long term. And we'll go through some of those stories now. So we've got three stories about sustainability. But just keep that in your mind for generations to come, always thinking ahead. And the first one starts with quick wins. Okay, so I'm sure everyone's had consultants and all these wonderful software vendors come in and talk to them about quick wins. Let's get some runs on the board. Let's get some quick wins and everything else will flow from there. Yeah, I get that. Quick wins are great. But they get forgotten about pretty quickly and they can leave a mess behind. I think iterative delivery towards a strategic goal is a much better way to put it. So beware of quick wins. Sorry, I've got my notes. So I'll just talk you through our example. You've got a five-step maturity curve here. It's pretty standard. On the left-hand side, you've got the basics, right? Getting your reporting out in time, allowing your teams to do localized analytics. So the supply chain team can do analytics on supply chain. The customer team can do analytics on the customer chain. So that's I'm hopeful everyone or nearly all companies can do that at this stage. Where we're all aiming for though is to get up here into the top right-hand corner, right? AI, automated decisions. We want to be like Netflix. We want to be like Uber. We want to be like TikTok. It's hard to get up there. So a chap called Timo Elliott invented this concept of the chasm. And he said, on the left-hand side of the chasm, that's where humans make decisions. That's where you know, most companies can do that. On the right-hand side of the chasm, it's where the machines start making the decisions. And it's a really hard thing to get across, to make that jump across the chasm. I agree completely with that, but I'm going to extend it a little bit more and say, quick wins and projects and initiatives, they can get you across the chasm, right? They can get you up here into the right-hand side. But without a long-term strategy and sustained investment, you will roll back down into that chasm. Right? So I'm going to tell you a bit about how sports bet has done that. But the first thing we did, because I believe we're about here and we're trending upwards, but we created a strategy around people, process, and tech, right? I'm sure everyone's got strategies. People, it's around capacity, getting the right skills in place. Process, making governance important and partnering with the business to get data ownership. Making data a first-class citizen when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to projects. So it's just not an afterthought and said, oh, we've just finished the project, we need these reports out the door. No, data is in there at the start to explain how it can be used to make the project better. And then a modern data platform, the technology part. So I'm going to tell you a bit about our journey to a modern data platform. So this is how we developed incrementally. And some of the, I don't think there were mistakes. I think there were the right decisions at the time, but this is the situation we found ourselves in. So about 12 years ago, companies getting going, becoming a bit more serious. We created a corporate data warehouse, okay? And the finance team was happy. We got the reports out the door. But in that corporate data warehouse goes all our key transactions, all the bets, all the customer interactions. They all go into that store. Okay, so finance was happy. But then we needed to get better at pricing. So remember that core product is pricing. So this team said, well, you know what? We need some analytics as well. So we took a copy of that. It's an SQL server, CDW, corporate data warehouse, SQL server, took a copy of all that data, added some event data on top. We created a pricing DB. And these guys were happy. The risk and trading team was happy. A couple of years later, we're about 7 years down the road. About 7 years ago, we had a good customer base. We had hundreds of thousands of customers. We needed to market to those customers. So we invested in a Redshift customer data platform. Great project. We brought all that transaction data. We copied that all across. We brought in all our Google Analytics data, all our behavioral data, all our marketing data. And we created a great solution and we plumbed it all into Adobe and we sent lots of great emails. And then about 5 years ago, we got into this kind of data lake territory because we started machine learning. That's pretty cool. We'll invest in that. So the data scientists needed a copy of that data as well. So I had a joke here. I forgot it because we had the finance were happy. Then price and risk were happy. Then the customer analytics were happy. Then we created a data lake and the data scientists were never happy. So if you meet a data scientist that's happy with their data, I'd love to meet them. They're probably not a data scientist. Now you'll see there's arrows going everywhere, right? It's a mess, right? That has been copied left, right, and center, literally left, right, and center. But they were the projects that took us there. They were incremental development, but they've left us, or they left a situation where our time to market became slow because we had to reconcile the data. Each time we copied it across, had to be reconciled. Things like access controls and security became a pain in the arse. Okay, so it really slowed us down. So what did we do? Over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've embraced the Lakehouse. We've found great partners in Amazon and Databricks. We've embraced the Lakehouse architecture. We store all our data in one spot, and we use the power of the cloud to allow each use case, each of those departments, from data science through to finance, to bring their own computer along and have a performance solution. The architecture is ready for real time. The architecture is ready for data science. The architecture can produce quality reports every morning. The architecture is scalable. So we've got this thing called Melbourne Cup happens once a year, where we have a huge, huge influx of data. Our solution on the right-hand side, that the CDW starts processing all the data, maybe 36 to 48 hours later, it's ready. And it can be copied then across all the different solutions. Or on the right-hand side, it takes 3 hours to process the data, and we've scaled back down by 6 a.m. in the morning. So we can scale up for the day and scale back down. So we're pretty happy with that architecture. But to go back to the reflection, where we were was about projects, initiatives, quick wins, but the project team is finished, right? And once the project's over, what happens next? The IP walks out the door, governance and quality starts to go downhill. And platform health becomes a real battle because you've got access controls, security patching, reconciliation. Where we have gone to, so that strategy is really important. We keep our capacity. The team evolves, but the capacity remains. We have that focus on ongoing governance and quality and the buy-in from the business. So data ownership with the business, I think, is critical. And then finally, we've got a simpler platform. So platform health is a little bit easier to sell and it's a little bit easier to do. We have that focus. Okay, story number two. This is the one where people might disagree with my points, but this is my story, so I'm going to tell it. You need partners, right? I think there's great partners up there on the board. You have to have partners. Don't try to build everything. That's a real good lesson. This is not about multi-cloud, by the way. I was practicing earlier on, like, this is not multi-cloud. Don't do multi-cloud. Competition is good for customers, though, right? This is what I believe. So you got McDonald's and Burger King up there. You can barely see them, but they're always coming out with new features, always coming out with new ways to consume fast food. You know, never stop. They're always challenging each other. You've got Duracell and, you know, and Energizer. So if I go to the shop, I buy whichever one's on sale, but they're always pushing each other to be cheaper, longer, more optimized. So great competition. In the data space, there's so much competition. It's crazy. I stood up on a stage like this 8 years ago or 9 years ago and it was sponsored by IBM Netezza. Now, 6 years ago, it was sponsored by Hortonworks. They're not there anymore. It's hard to make the right decision. I think a really important thing I've learned over the last few years, like this, just Jeff Bezos's idea of two-way doors. I really urge you to read about this and use it when you're making decisions around your data. So the theory is, if it's a one-way door, you need to be really careful about that decision. Think it through. People, process, tech. What's the implications of putting my data into a proprietary platform? That would be a one-way door. A two-way door is open source. It's an ability to be flexible and optimal. Flexible and the other word's written down over here. Give you optionality, that's the one. I believe this is an architecture reflection. You need optionality in your architecture, you need flexibility. Open source is great. That's why we use the Delta Lake format, for example, in Sportsbet. So in Sportsbet, we partner with AWS and Databricks, as I said before. Great partners, really encourage, have a look at them. They give us a bit of competition between each other. Sometimes we use EMR for certain jobs. Sometimes we use Databricks Compute. It's we get them to compete. We understand, we work with them to understand what's the best tool for the job. SageMaker, Databricks Machine Learning. They're great capabilities. So have a think about optionality and flexibility in your architecture. Now, this does come at overhead, engineering overhead. So, and this is where some people might disagree with me. It does come at overhead, but part of my strategy is to build an engineering culture. Okay, so I want my engineers to think about what they're doing, not just blindly go and implement on a certain platform. Okay, last lesson or last learning from me is around our product. So I talked about safer gambling earlier on. And this is just our journey over the last 5 years around safer gambling. So we started off an idea that we could use data and the predictive capabilities or abilities of data to help keep our customers safe, right? That's a great idea, I think. We're going to keep our customers safe. It's part of our strategy, generations to come. Let's keep our customers safe. So we started to build out that model. And this is a five-year journey, by the way. So it doesn't happen. And it's part of my learning is it takes time to build great data products. So we've got the idea. We've built the model. We start to educate basically the execs, the people whose business it's going to impact. So educate them. What's a good score mean? What's a bad score? What's 90? Is 90 good or is 10 good? Or start that education process. Explain some what features are important and why those features are important. And this takes time. It does not happen overnight. It is not a quick win. The next thing I think is really, really critical, data science and data engineering teams, they partner with the analytics teams. So the teams that are building out the dashboards, the teams that are working hand in hand with the business to do commercial analytics, because that's where the impact will happen in the commercial teams. That's where you want to make an impact to your customer. But it needs to become part of the vernacular of your organization, part of the vernacular of your commercial analytics team. So once it starts to work its way into your dashboards, once your model starts to work its way in, then it's time to start thinking about, well, what action can we take on this? The execs understand it. The analytics teams are talking about it. What action can we take on it? In sports bet, it was marketing suppression. So if your safer gambling score was above a certain threshold, we stopped marketing to you. So all that work we did in Adobe, we'd stop marketing to people once they hit a certain threshold. But over the last year, and this is where it gets really cool, I think. Over the last year, we've invested in a new product. It's called Real-Time Intervention. So this is taking it to that automated action level. So in the top right-hand quadrant, where we learn from everybody, and then we can predict for anybody. Okay, so we learn from everyone and predict for anybody. So we take the whole of sports bets data and we work out, what's the predicted behavior? What are the thresholds? What do we expect people to deposit on a day? And it's based, we're a very seasonal business. AFL finals is different to cricket season. Spring racing is huge for us. So what's the predicted behavior for each customer? And then we have a look at their behavior on that day and we intervene in real time. If they go outside their expected deposits for their behavior. And we start to intervene. So we take that model, that deep AR model, and we intervene. So you got three tiers here. For example, tier one would be, we'd intervene in that journey. We'd slow down the journey. We'd ask them if they're sure. Tier two could be, we will stop letting them deposit until they've set a deposit limit. And the third tier is, we stop letting them bet until they've spoken to one of our safer gambling experts. So I think this is a great story of, it takes time to build up that model. I'm getting to hurry along a little bit here. So let me go on to the conclusion. All right. So just in summary, I guess the first lesson I've learned is have a strategy. Beware of those quick wins. Think long-term. Think sustainably. Where am I going to be? Where's this team going to be in 3 years' time? My personal, maintain optionality and flexibility in your architecture. I think that's key. If you can, get some competition in there. But link this back to your strategy again. And then finally, give your data products time to evolve. They don't happen overnight. But if you can link it to your company vision, I think that is critical. That's it. Thank you very much.
Mate, that is ace. Thank you very much for that. I totally agree. Like, I've definitely been had a lot of pain by focusing on quick wins that are kind of like scattergun, and having the product vision is great. Awesome. And very quickly, I did see a question on Slido. You mentioned measuring the benefits of personalization and getting some clarity early in the journey. How do you guys measure the benefits now?
So now we've got very actually clear commercial benefits. We can understand the commercial impact of our promotions and our discounts. I think when we first started doing content recommendations, things like click-through rates, but we didn't understand what was the impact on the bottom line. We weren't brilliant at doing experimentation, so we weren't brilliant at understanding the impact of a new feature.
Yeah.
So we probably just did that a bit late.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just be clear of this is what we're going to measure, and this is how we're going to measure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Niall Keating.
That brings this episode to conclusion. Thank you so much for listening. Please find us on datafuturology.com or on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram as Data Futurology. Also go to datafuturology.com/podcast to find the show notes for this and any other episodes. If you like this episode, it would mean a lot to us if you could leave us a review wherever you listen to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that it was helpful and valuable for you. Thanks again, and see you next time.